I remember getting up on a Monday morning, getting ready for work, and having this thought just emerge, saying, I don't feel like going to work, which had never happened in 9 years of being a Dreamer. And that thought scared me. That was the moment I knew that something had completely broken apart and I needed to do something about it.
Hi, I'm Rachita Vora, and you're listening to Failure Files, a podcast by India Development Review, where social change leaders share their stories of failure and the lessons they learned in the process. This season, in a special series we're doing in partnership with the Wellbeing Project, we will be bringing you stories about the intersection of failure and well-being. We will hear from social entrepreneurs, a Dalit rights activist, an Olympic gold medalist, and others about their perspectives on failure, and what the road to recovery and resilience looks like. Today, I'm in conversation with Vishal Talreja and Sucheta Bhatt. For close to a decade, Vishal led the nonprofit Dream a Dream, which has been working with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds since 1999, helping them overcome adversity through developing life skills. They have impacted 1.5 million children through state partnerships in Delhi, Jharkhand, Uttarakhand, Telangana, and Karnataka. Dream a Dream has seen a lot of growth and success, but not without its fair share of failure. Okay, so here's what happened. One day, Vishal woke up to the realization that Dream a Dream had in fact become an organization that was quite different from what he had envisioned and what he thought he was building. He was burnt out and had lost confidence in himself as a leader. It was only the recovery from this failure, the building back up, that helped him find a new, different kind of leadership model. And that's where his partnership with Sucheta comes in. Sucheta went on to become CEO of Dream a Dream, and the two of them, along with their team, have now built an organization that they feel proud to stand behind. But enough from me. Let's hear from Vishal and Sucheta on what went wrong and why, and what that path to recovery looked like. Vishal, you joined Dream a Dream as a volunteer in 1999, and a few years later, you took over as CEO. And you've been an inspiring and a visionary leader. And yet, 10 years later, you faced burnout. There was discontent within the team, which then actually led to Sucheta eventually stepping into your role. So can you walk us through that journey and what led to this point?
So Dream a Dream started in 1999. And there were 11 of us as friends and friends of friends who came together to start the organization. We all started as volunteers. And we had no intention of moving in full time when we started. But as the organization grew and we started creating impact on the ground, we felt there was a need for one of us to move in full time. A couple of our co-founders initially spent time full time trying to build the organization. And then I reached a point in my personal journey where I said, this is what I needed to do. And I came in full time in 2002. I was about 23 years old then, with no prior experience of having ever built an organization or built a team. So for me, everything was trial and error. One of the first challenges that we had was some of the co-founders moved on to the board as trustees, including myself, and I also worked full-time with the organization. As the relationship changed between us from being equal co-founders and volunteers in the organization to now having a board and an executive director, it also changed the dynamics of a relationship, which led to a lot of mistrust, which led to not being clear on where decisions are taken, who takes decisions, how decisions are taken. Some of us were really good friends as we started the organization. We're not so good friends anymore because of this changed dynamic within the organization, which led to a lot of conflict between us. And that was the first point when I realized that maybe I don't know how to build an organization. I need to learn the ropes of that. We couldn't resolve our conflicts and issues on our own, so we brought in an external facilitator to help us talk through some of these issues, which led to some pretty drastic decisions, one of which was that all of us as co-founders who were trustees stepped down from the board as trustees. We brought in a professional board, And then I became the executive director, reporting to the board. What was good through this entire journey was that the work didn't get impacted. The work with children continued to do well and thrive, and we continued to build our programs and approaches. And I continued to be very driven with the work that we were doing. But the challenges were really around organization building. And then as the organization started to grow and we started to hire more people, scale the impact of our work, the organization needed systems, processes, as any growing organization needs, HR policies, finance processes, anti-fraud policies, and a whole host of things. And because I didn't know how to do a lot of these things, the budgets were growing, so we needed a professional finance team, an accounting team. The next best thing I did was bring in people who had more experience than me from different industries, from different fields, to guide me. So at one level, you know, I would listen to what they had to offer because they knew better. At another level, intuitively, I didn't feel right the kind of organization we were building. Because what we were losing out on was a core set of values, which makes a nonprofit different from any other organization. Values of trust, authenticity, dignity, diversity, inclusion, which were values that were all there in my head, but I didn't have the ability to articulate them and put them down into, translate them into systems and processes or policies of the organization. So that left a gap between who I wanted Dream and Dream to be and who Dream and Dream was becoming.
Clearly, in terms of what you've articulated, there were issues of self-doubt, internal miscommunication. There was also a great deal of passion and energy. There was a demanding work culture. It's clear that the process of burning out was something that kind of lay beneath the surface all of these years, right? It sounds to me like it was a slow burn over a long time until it wasn't.
Yeah.
So was there a moment when you realized that you had had enough and that was your breaking point? And also looking back now, why do you think you may have missed some of the warning signals?
Yeah, that's an important observation, Rajita. I do believe it was a buildup. One thing I would keep telling myself is that I can't burn out. And I used to feel very proud telling my friends who worked in the corporate sector, saying, you know, I look forward to Monday mornings. And I really did. You know, I used to work 7 days a week. I completely ignored family time, personal time. There would be days when I'll get up at 3 a.m. and I have this brilliant idea and I needed to talk about it. So I would shoot out an email to the team. So I was really pushing myself. And second, because I was so unsure of myself and my decision-making, there were high levels of micromanagement, which meant then a lot of things came to my table. So if you're making an annual report, I'm the one saying, oh, this is the font we need to use, this is the color we need to use, I'm not happy with this design. There was a point in time, I think 2006, 2007, 2008, when I was doing the bookkeeping for the organization, literally putting entries in tally, because I didn't trust anyone else to do a good job. And I was a stickler for getting it right and high levels of transparency. So it was a buildup, and I was doing it to myself. And then in 2009, I had a breakdown where I burnt out. And the realization that I had is that I wouldn't want to work in an organization like Dream and Dream anymore. It had become highly bureaucratic as an organization. The culture had become toxic. There were high levels of mistrust. And I'll give you an example of how that mistrust showed up. On a particular day, one of colleagues lost a phone, and I was not in office, I was outside. So the team just decided that we are going to check everyone's bags to see who's who might have taken the phone. And our team consisted of people who were highly educated, came from privilege, and people who were alumni from our programs, young people who were alumni from our programs, or people from the community itself. And that decision was a highly undignified decision to check everyone's bags. It broke the culture of the organization in that moment. The moment for me when I kind of realized I had had enough, I remember getting up on a Monday morning, getting ready for work, and having this thought just emerge, saying, I don't feel like going to work, which had never happened in 9 years of being a Dream and Dream. And that thought scared me. That was a moment I knew that something had completely broken apart and I needed to do something about it.
So what did you do?
So I just called up the office and I said, I'm going to go away. Didn't tell them where, but I said, I'm not going to be available. I called up home and I said, I'm going away for a conference for a few days. Landed up at the Bangalore bus stop early morning and just literally took the first bus getting out of the bus stop, not knowing where it's going. 8 hours, 9 hours later, landed up in Coorg. I was like, okay, since I'm here, might as well stay here for a few days. So checked into a homestay. And for a week, I just slept. Didn't put on my phone, didn't put on my laptop, just slept. And I realized my body needed that rest. My body was exhausted. And all I needed was a space where I needed to sleep. And then a week later, I came back and I knew that I had to change something. Something fundamentally within myself, but also in the way the organization is running.
So Chetan, I'd love to bring you in here because this was around the time that you joined Dream a Dream, right? What was it like coming into a setup that was in a crisis? How did it feel initially?
So it was a mixed bag for me because I was at that time working in the corporate sector, making this big transition in life and career to move into the social sector. And I did that because I had been a volunteer with Dream a Dream and I had been so inspired by the work. And the volunteering journey is what made me realize that, I don't want to be an engineer. I don't want to be in sales. I want to work with people. I want to work on life skills. I saw myself as a psychologist. And, so it was a journey of discovering myself. So I came in with so much hope and, this ideas of everything that I will do. So that way it was a bit disappointing. Like Vishal said, decision-making was a bit of a mess, or a big mess. Some decisions you just had to go to Vishal, what is the snack we will have at this event? And at some other times he would be like, why are you asking me? It's your role, you take the decision. So it was very inconsistent and we kind of, didn't know how to navigate that as a team. But at the culture level, I realized that a lot of people, and to some extent even me, we had joined Dream a Dream because we were enamored by Vishal, by his vision, listening to his TED Talks, having met him, having heard what he wants to create in the world. So you join in thinking of joining, this being part of this big change. But then you realize that you don't really know what to do on a day-to-day basis. What is your role? What is the expectations? How do you measure yourself? How do you even know you're making progress? So all the operational things that actually make you function in your role and make you feel satisfied, those were not there. So it led to a lot of frustration. And the way it was set up was this frustration was then always projected on Vishal. So everybody in the team, including the board, it was always Vishal's problem, right? Something that Vishal was not doing right, something that he needed to change. And for a lot of time, I also bought that narrative that it's his leadership style. He's not investing in his well-being. He's not investing in putting in processes. He's not prioritizing right. So I also bought into the narrative that it is Vishal. Till I spent time with him and I realized that some things are his problem, but it's not necessarily just him. There is a much bigger challenge here. And for me, that challenge was that Vishal is really a visionary kind of leader. He's a very different visionary leader who's always seeing the future and always almost dissatisfied with everything that's happening because he has this big idea of where we should be. And if you take that on as an org, then you will be left, of forever feeling guilty and inadequate. So that's when I realized that, it's not just that he has to change because you want that. The qualities of his ability to see the future, the qualities of his passion and his commitment to this is what you want in a social entrepreneur. What we also needed in Dream a Dream, but we also needed a bridge, something that builds the capacity of the team to understand where they are at and what are the steps that we need to take to really make this vision possible and move in that direction.
The next few years were not easy at Dream a Dream. Half the team had left the organization by this point. As they began to rebuild from the ground up, Sucheta would soon discover that her role needed to be much larger than what she had been recruited for. Stick around for next week's episode, where I hear from Sucheta and Vishal about what that process of recovery looked like, both for them personally, but also for the organization. What changes did they make from the inside out? How did they go about completely transforming Dream a Dream into the nonprofit that Vishal had, well, always dreamed of. All this and more on next week's episode. Failure Files is produced by Shreya Adhikari, Tanaya Jagtiani, and me, Rachita Vora. This podcast is part of a larger initiative at IDR, where alongside 15 partners, we're creating a space for candid conversations around failures and social impact. This episode is part of a special series in partnership with the Wellbeing Project, where we look at the intersection of failure and well-being. To read more about Failure Files, check us out at idronline.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.